So now, what is the first mitzvah in the Torah? Interestingly enough, the first mitzvah we as Jews heard from God was right before we left Egypt. It is a mitzvah of creating Jewish calendar. Sanctifying, blessing the new moon. Whenever there's a new moon appearing on the sky at night, there's a special blessing that we recite because we know that our calendar is lunar solar. So our year depends on the solar cycle, but our months depend on a lunar cycle, which means every 15th of every Jewish month, when you pick up your head, you see a full moon. And every first day of every Jewish month, you see a tiny, tiny sliver of a moon which is just appearing. How did it work in the times of the temple? We said that our month depends on the lunar cycle, right? And it is rather complicated because lunar cycle is 29 and a half days. That means that every month can be 29 or 30 days. We can't start a new month on a half a day. So technically speaking, if it's going to be 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, it's going to work out. But it's not exactly 29 and a half. It's 29 and 9 fifths to be exact. And then there are some little hours left and whatever it is. So that's why the formula ends up being rather complex. And every month could be either 29 or 30 days. How did it happen ancient the times of a temple? That's how it happened. Every 29th day of every Jewish month, Jews did not know if this month will be 29 days or 30 days. If there was a new moon already on that night, means the previous month was only 29 days, and this will be the first day of the new month. If they did not see a new moon yet, means the month is 30 days. Now, what does it mean they saw a moon? Who were these witnesses had to come to the temple? And the Jewish court that was residing in the temple would hear out the witnesses. And if the witnesses' testimony makes sense, had to be two separate witnesses who would come. If everything checks out with their testimony, the Jewish court would announce that this month is beginning now, which means that previous month was only 29 days, and now we are starting a new month. Today is the first of the new month. Now, here is an interesting caveat. I said that if everything checks out, what does it mean? That really our sages knew exactly when the new moon would appear. And our sages knew not only when it would appear, how would it appear, where would it appear, how would it be tilted, what shape it would have, and everything else. Because the Torah gives us a lot of teachings about astronomy. And the sages knew exactly where in the sky the new moon is supposed to be. They knew exactly how it would be positioned, how it would be tilted, which way it would be facing, and everything else. So now, this is a question that anyone would ask. One second. So you're telling me sages would know when and where and how the moon would appear? Well, it says they knew everything. They were interrogating every witness to find out if what he says makes sense according to their astronomical calculations. So they knew how and when and where the new moon would appear. So if they knew that, why do they need the witnesses? It's a funny thing. If you know already if it's going to be a new month or not, what's the point of making witnesses come? What is the answer? God specifically wanted us as people to have a part in establishing the new month, to establishing our calendar. It should come from us. The system was already in place. God created this whole world with the exact precise formula when a new moon would appear. But God says, I want you to come. I want you Jews to come to the temple where the Jewish court is and testify because I want you to be a part of this whole creation called Jewish calendar. So God gives this to us people to be in charge of our calendar. So here is a very interesting point. And this is the point that we are meant to come and to testify while the end result is already known. The Jewish court is sitting and they know what the testimony should be. It's like, imagine a judge in court is sitting and he knows what the testimony of this witness should be. It shouldn't work like this in the courts, right? The judge is supposed to be hearing, listening to them and finding out. But here it works the other way around. The judge of a Jewish court knows what testimony should be. And if the testimony is right, they accept the testimony. Why is that? Because this, what we are talking about, is really the epitome of how a Jewish life works and how the Torah learning works. Very often people look at our minds, at our intellect, as the guide for everything. In Western culture, it's very popular to look at your intellectual abilities as the guiding principle of everything you do. According to the Torah, it's a mistake. Your intellect can prove whatever you want. Your intellect can prove two diametrically opposing points at the same time. You know, in schools where they learn how to debate, they make two teams and give each one of these two teams opposite points to prove, and they debate. And then they figure out which one won, right? And what they do afterwards, they switch these teams, and each one has to prove the opposite point. And you know what usually happens? The team that proved the first point and was better at the skill of debating, the team that proved the first point, when they switch, also wins in the debate when it's proving the second point, the opposite point. Why? Because it's nothing about the truth. It's about your ability to argue or explain or articulate. That's right. It's all about how well you can persuade others. It's not about the truth. There is a saying in Russian language, "В споре рождается истина," that in debates, the truth is being born. It is not true. It's false. Because if I am a good enough debater, I can prove whatever I want. Our brains can never be used as a guide for what's right, what's wrong. We see in our world's history that nations that have rejected all of the ethical religious norms of the past and were basing themselves solely on what is understood to be good and understood to be bad ended up being very immoral nations. In Nazi Germany, they had panels of philosophers that were establishing what's right, what's wrong. In ancient Greece, when we know so much about the beautiful Greek philosophy and great philosophers, but their society was far from a moral society because our brains can never be used as the guide of what's right, what's wrong. The Torah tells us what's right, what's wrong. And we need to use our brains to understand it and to prove it to ourselves. So that's why the mitzvah of creating a new month is really the epitome of what Torah stands for. God says, I am giving the creation of calendar to you. You should do it. But your research of what's going on in the sky has to match the reality, has to match the calculations. God says, I want you to understand the Torah and really understand well yourself what's supposed to be done. But I'm telling you what is right, what is wrong. I'm telling you what you need to understand. In conclusion, I'll tell you an interesting story. You probably heard that in the 80s, the Lubavitch movement was dragged into a legal battle over the previous Rebbe's library. And there was a person who was claiming rights to the library, and he was taking these books and selling them, and they ended up in the court. And when they started this legal process, they put together a team of lawyers, a legal team. Greatest Jewish minds of those times were on that team. And they came to the Rebbe to speak to him about how to proceed with their case. And as you probably know, big, good lawyers have also big, good ego. And they all had certain understanding how they should run this case. And the Rebbe had a completely different idea in mind. And their first meeting, they did not end up coming to any conclusions during this first meeting. They were really disagreeing on a lot of things. When they were walking out, the Rebbe was saying them goodbye, and the Rebbe said, you probably think that I want you to do the way I see is the right path to do things. He says, no. I want you to do everything the way you see is the right path to do things. But I want you to see the right path the way I see it. And this is what the Rebbe told them. In other words, we need to make sure that we understand what we are doing if we are taking this story and applying it to how we learn the Torah. We need to do things the way we understand them, but we need to understand them the way Torah understands them.